Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad city, broken day, bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad items, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial, right across the river and through the woods where Granny loves to roll up them Swisher Sweets. You know I'm talking about them big fatty gaddies. When she's drinking whiskey in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh, people just in plastic bags, direct in traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up. Should do. All my friends that come around, fight to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs up down with a massive town's tatter. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Should be shake out. Ooh. Hey, what's kicking is Farrell with Mafia tonight on a bench. And I can't even get over that. Double overtime game I just watched. I got burned on that game. I had Boston. So I got to tell you, and I don't care one way or the other about it. I mean, I lose bets all the time. I hit tons of bets. So it is what it is. But I really thought Mafia, honest to God, like even the stats don't say it and they don't show it and they don't prove it. If you just look at fouls and you look at free throws, that's not the way I gauge it. It's not just how many times it went to the line or how many fouls there were. This is strictly an eye test and a watch test. And what I saw was, and I don't care what anybody thinks. So here's the deal. I thought Toronto got every single call in that entire second half and both overtimes. And I couldn't even believe the Van Vliet six-point play. I've never seen that. I mean, that was so bad, I don't even know what to say about it. A six-point play. I mean, it was unbelievable. It really was. So I just thought the refs became the story again. It wasn't about the players. It was about the refs, and that's hell.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Farrell on the bench. So later we're going to talk to Joe Lisi. We were supposed to have him on Coast to Coast today to talk college football. Technology interfered, like the refs did in the Raptor-Celtic game. And we weren't able to get him on, so we're going to get him on tonight, allegedly. I guess I'll believe it if I hear it at this point. So, Mafia, let's go through the litany of calls, okay? Let's start with, and these are just off the top of my head. I mean, I can't even remember all of them. There were so many bad calls. All right, first of all, the ones I brought up were the Van Vliet six-point play, the foul on Smart at his feet, so they gave him a three-point shot, three free throws, and the tech for not letting him land. Then they get the ball and a bucket. That's a 6-point play. And then the play with Nick Nurse literally running on to the court to pretend like he's a player when Tatum threw the ball at him. He thought it was you can't deny he thought it was a teammate.
Oh, absolutely. And in the last minute of the game, too, it's not even like this was just some random play in overtime and regular. Like, it was 40 seconds left. They're tied up. He's looking for someone to dish it to, and he sees the guy there in the corner of his eye, and it's the coach instead of one of his teammates.
No call there. That should have been a tech. And then how about the Tatum drive with the, inadvertently hits him in the nose, driving through all that traffic, and they give him a flagrant. And then at the end of the game, Gasol stepped on Marcus Smart's head on the last play, stepped on his head. That's why Stevens jumped in front of the ref. He's like, what are you doing? He literally he tackled him and stepped on his head. No call. And then it was just one after the next. I mean, they let how many free throws did they give Powell? I just couldn't even believe it. Like, I don't even remember them getting one call. How about when Walker drove to win the game at the end of regulation and no call there? And they let him, get crushed, and he lands on the ground. And then they give him the timeout when it was a jump ball. Remember the jump ball? No, right. Nope. They get the timeout.
It should have been jump ball because the guy was even on the ground. They're calling timeout. The second his feet hit the ground, he was wrapped up by two different Boston guys. It should have been jump ball between him and Tice, with Boston obviously would have won.
I mean, I just thought you can't even, and I don't care about either team. I'm not a fan of either. So I'm not like biased. I don't even care if I lost the bet. I thought as I watched the game that the refs, once again, these terrible, I think they're an absolute atrocity. They are terrible. And I'm sick and Pharrell and tired of hearing Mike Breen talk about how they're the greatest refs in the world. Greatest refs, my ass. They ruin everything. Like, did you see this ref standing there when Walker drove and got just absolutely mauled? And he didn't even look at it. He didn't even look at it. He wouldn't even – the guy's laying in a heap under the basket. He never looked. All he looked for was no call, and then, jump ball. And he called timeout instead. He gave him the timeout. I just thought right in the game, you even heard Jackson was doing the game, right? You even heard him say it. He said it right in the middle of the game. No one, even Toronto fans, can argue with it. He said right out loud, he said, the refs are deciding this game, not the players. How many times have I said that on this show? It's the refs become the story. The refs become the game. The refs ruin the games. Every single night, it's the refs. It's not about players anymore. It's about calls. It's not about great players making plays, making shots, making threes, making dunks, making passes, making dimes. It's about refs. It's about refs making calls. That's what the game has become about. You want to know why people are turned off by the NBA, which, hundreds of millions of people love it. I'm talking about the people that don't like it anymore. In other words, they were fans prior, right? They were fans back in the day when, like, Michael Jordan was playing, or when Dr. J was playing, or when Larry Bird and Magic Johnson were playing, right? They don't watch now. And I don't think it's because of money. I don't think it's because of players. I think it's because the game is about refs now and not about basketball. It's about refs. It's about refs. That's it.
And the game. There's also one you forgot, Scott. There was the one with Tice where he, late in the game, where he gets the ball and the one guy has his arm wrapped around him. And then he goes up for the shot and the other guy comes in and smacks his arm. They call nothing on it. And then they give the shot clock violation. So Toronto gets the ball back. And the thing, too, you're looking at it. As we've seen to these playoffs, it seems like they put out an edict that, okay, now they're looking for, as you mentioned, the Tatum, move where guys unintentionally smacking guys in the face. We're seeing constant reviews about that and constant reviews about guys coming underneath guys, not letting them land, not giving them space, on the shots to come down and land, as you said, with the 6-point play. That's the kind of stuff that, okay, you want to focus on that. You want to say we got to watch out for that. You do that at the beginning of next season. You do not do that at the beginning of the playoffs, because this wasn't happening in the restart before. Now all of a sudden we're getting to the playoffs, into the second, into the semis and the conference finals, and we're starting to do ticky-tack calls left and right.
Did you see on that jumper by VanVleet, did you think for 1 minute that he put his feet out? Did he kick his feet out to land? Or did he shoot a jumper and land normally? I saw him kick his legs out, and then all I saw Smart do was jump toward him like he was going to try to block the three, like get a hand in the face, jump forward. But it was not an intentional, I'm going to undercut him and make him twist his ankle. I didn't believe for 1 minute that he tried to undercut him. I think he tried to get his hand in his face. He fouled him. I'll give you that. But there is no way in hell that's a tech on top of the three free throws and a 6-point play. I mean, that's the difference in the game. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if you're from Canada. I don't care if you're from Toronto. I don't care if you're Cam. I don't care who you are. That's a BS call. Any way you slice it, 6-point play. I don't even think I've ever seen that before. I've never even seen that. In a game that good, where the entire ending for the last half hour was about refs. It wasn't about basketball. It was about refs. Those three refs absolutely suck. They're the worst I've ever seen in my life. It was torture watching the game. I was going to have a heart attack because I'm sitting there going, these refs are ruining the game. Even 34C, who wouldn't watch sports if you gave her a Lamborghini. If you gave her a Lamborghini, she wouldn't watch sports. She was sitting there watching I'm sitting there going, I'm watching this double overtime game. It's crazy. Oh, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you got to see this to believe it. So she sat down and watched like the last 10, 12 minutes. And even she was screaming about the refs. And she doesn't have any idea what she's watching. Zero. She doesn't have any clue about any players, any teams, any refs, nothing. She doesn't watch. She wouldn't watch an NBA game for 1 minute. Not 1 minute, the whole year. She wouldn't watch. I've known her. I've been married to her 20 years. She doesn't watch 1 minute of an NBA game ever. Ever. She just doesn't watch sports. And so she was even screaming. And it was the refs. Oh, my God. They're so bad. I don't care what you say. I don't even care who won. Because now you got game 7. Congratulations. But the game, to me, was fixed. It was so bad, the refs. They were so bad. It was like, I was like watching it going, this is like a bad movie. It was like watching a bad movie, watching them blow that whistle and make all those bad calls. It was one after the next. And you can't even deny it. And every call went Toronto's way. I mean, it was like they drew it up to play game 7. No matter what. I don't care what you think. First regulation, first overtime, second overtime. Did Boston get one call in the game in the last hour? Did they get one call? Did you see when Tice had the dunk and he got mauled? No call. Should have been an and one. Jackson and Breen both said it. That should have been an and one. No call. They called everything on Boston. They called everything on them. You can't even argue it. Shut up. I don't even want to hear it. Don't even listen to me if you think so. Jump off a bridge. Honestly, I can't take it anymore. Watching these refs, it's going to kill me. It's going to kill me. And you know what's even worse? Because we're going right into the NFL, and they're worse than the NBA refs. The NFL refs are even worse. They're like 90 years old, and they are the epitome of torture. They are at every single play in the NFL, there's a flag. It's enough to drive you nuts.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon. We'll be right back.
right, so Pharrell on the bench. It's 1-1 in the third late. 8:20 left in Rolling Islanders, Tampa, game two of the Eastern Conference Final. Islanders scored first. A late Hedman goal tied it up at the end of the first. It's been that way ever since. There's 8 minutes left in this game. The Islanders just had a 5-on-3 and then a 5-on-4 power play. They did not score on the Lightning, so this is a really good game. I feel like it's next goal wins, and each team has had multiple chances from what I've seen. I've had it on just, you know, frankly, for about this period. I've had it on the TV this period, but I was giving up on the Nuggets game because it was so bad early. But I know that they've trimmed that lead. They were down huge to the Clippers. But then, how much is it at the half?
8 points. Only 8 points. 48-40 at halftime.
Yeah, that's where I just turned it on. It was 48-40. So I know that they were down eight. They were down, you know, at least – I saw him down at least 14 or 16 points. It may have been worse than that, but they were losing. They fought their way back, but they got a lot of work to do to get that lead or to get, you know, back into it full on. But anyway, so Mafia, are you even in a position to disagree with anything I said about that basketball game, that double overtime game? Because I got to tell you, I just thought it was butchered. And I mean, every time they went to the replay, it ended up being a flagrant technical on the Celtics every time. Like, I just couldn't even believe it. The Marcus Smart foul on Van Fleet, and then the Tatum. If that was intentional, I'm the Queen of England. Are you kidding me? He's driving through all that traffic to try to score, and his arm flails, and you think that he's trying to smash Ananobi in the nose? You got to be kidding me. And I got to tell you, I'll give him credit. Lowry hit some bombs. And, you know, I thought Powell hit some big buckets in overtime. And I thought Ananobi hit that three from straight out. I couldn't even believe it. It was like a 25, 26 footer from Ananobi, dead center field. And he lit it up from the top of the key. I couldn't even believe it. He rattled it in. And, I got to be honest with you. He hit that big shot in game three or whatever it was. And I just don't think he's that good, right? I just don't think at all that he's some kind of three-point shooter, right? And I thought his game-winning shot was lucky because there was no time left, 0.5, and he jacked it up and it went in. It looked like it was going to clank off the back of the rim and it fell. Then he suddenly was talking after the game like, I knew it was going in. Yeah, my ass. And then tonight he hits another dagger from dead to center. And I don't even think he's a three-point shooter. I don't. I don't believe for 1 minute. I saw him play at Indiana. He never was a three-point shooter. All I know is, Mafia, tell me what you think. Do you think I'm crazy in that I watched that game and the only thing I took from it was that it was the most exhausting game ever for the players to have, in my opinion, the refs ruin the game. The refs ruined the game. It was such a great game, and I thought the refs ruined it. They just kept giving Toronto every call. I mean, it was unbelievable. I was like, at some point, you know, and what bothers me is that they actually had leads of three a couple times, the Celtics, in both overtimes. They still couldn't finish them because they kept hitting bomb threes. And Powell hit the one in the corner. Ananobi hit one. Lowry hit one. They hit everything. And then they couldn't get rid of them is the bottom line. They didn't deserve to win. Fair enough. But I thought the refs ruined the game.
I agree with you 100% because, you know, that's been a problem throughout these playoffs. We have so many of these reviews now. And if you're going to have a review, you got to be able to do everything in it. You can't have this, you know, BS stuff that they have where you can look for certain things. Like, look, if you hit him in the face, like, look, if you don't land, like, how many times are they going to these reviews and you're seeing obvious fouls that they're missing that they can't call because it's not in the rules now for them to do that. If they're going to have it, it's got to be all or nothing because they're just letting too many other things fly. And I get that you don't want to have these guys throwing elbows. You don't want to, like, back in the day. Like, I know you learned it because when I was a kid, that's the way I learned it is, you know, when you're a big man, you grab a rebound, you know, it's elbows up and swing, clear people out. That's how you get them from smacking the ball away from you. You just swing the elbows. And then they're not going to want to be there again if they get once or twice. Obviously, that's not the way they want it anymore. They don't want, you know, everybody being careful, not hitting each other in the face. But I think there's a big difference between, you know, accidental things happen, you know, guys are moving, flying throughout the air, the crazy athleticism that they have. Sometimes guys get smacked. There's a big difference between that and a guy throwing an elbow and taking somebody out. And so that's an abuse of that rule right there with the Tatum thing with the arm. Sometimes it's just going to happen. And if it's not intentional or it's not, you know, really violent and really, you know, really harmful to the other player, you got to just let it go. That's just the flow of the game. Things happen. So they have been out and about that all this postseason, like I was saying, that one, and the getting the feet underneath guys, letting them land. And like you said, it's got to be on the shooter too. If the guy's leaning, you can't just give him that call. The same way as, you know, they give Harden, these guys, all these calls that, well, they'll fake the guy up and they'll just like dive into the guy. The guy jumps straight in the air and they dive into him to make contact. They have no chance of hitting the shot, but they get free throws because the ref bails them out. There's got to be, you know, give and take with that. You can't have the guy, if the guy's not going to jump straight up, you don't have to worry about, you know, him kicking you. That's not your fault. But they keep calling that too.
Did you think that he kicked his, did you think Van Fleet kicked his feet out?
No, I didn't. Reverse. I thought you were saying the other way to Smart. I did think Van Fleet kicked out. I did not think that Smart intentionally went underneath him, tried to take him out. I think the problem there is the same problem that you had at the end of the game that you're talking about with the Gasol call, well, where Smart has a reputation, right, you know, with these refs now, the things he does, the flops he tries to take sometimes to draw fouls. He's a great defender. Sometimes he embellishes. So I think that was a, you know, like a Draymond Green, that was a reaction call to the guy that was involved.
But do you think, fair enough that he does a lot of drama, but there's no way you can tell me that he's first team all D. So he's first team all D. There's only five guys in the NBA that are that good. He's one of them. So you either respect him that he's first team all D, or you're saying he's a flopper. So if he's a flopper, then what does that make Lowry? Because Lowry not only is like winning Oscars out on the floor with every call, but he also cries, I think, as much as LeBron James. I mean, every single whistle. Every whistle's wrong. Every single call is wrong. He argues every single call against Toronto. I mean, he gets in the ref's face the entire game, every single call, from the first play of the game to the last. He never stops complaining. And then LeBron James does the same thing. He just, every single whistle, you're wrong. He turns around, he flails his arms up and looks at the ref. He's like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding. What is wrong with you? How could you call that? What's wrong with you? And then anyone else gets teched up, but he gets nothing ever. And neither does Lowry. You can't even deny it. There is no way in hell's earth that he didn't kick it. Van Vliet kicked his feet out, landed on his ankle. All he did was do the hand in the face. You got to get a hand in the face. You don't want to foul him, obviously. But you have to get in their face at the very least. Get a hand up on every shot, because if you don't, like when I play, right, they always say, Pharrell, man, get your hand up, stick your hand up. You have to contest the shot every time. Don't foul him. Contest the shot. I thought he tried to contest the shot. I thought he fouled him unintentionally, and then all of a sudden it turned into a 6-point play. Like I was like, this isn't even happening. And then the call at the end on the rebound on the Walker miss, and they call a foul instead of, or they call a timeout instead of a jump ball when it was a jump ball. It was a jump ball. Everyone knew it was a jump ball, and they gave Lowry the timeout flying through the air. I think that's the timeout they gave him, because he hadn't even landed yet, and he gave him the timeout. And I just thought that was a BS call. It was one after the next, the whole game. It was like a snowball effect of bad calls. How did Tice not get fouled on that dunk? He got mauled. And both Green and Jackson said it. They both said he got mauled. That's a foul. That's an and one. Game over. Don't even argue it. They got no call at all ever the whole stretch, down the stretch, not one call. Even the Tatum foul, they called him for a flagrant to the elbow of Ananobi when he drove. He got mauled. He got mauled going through those trees. Don't even tell me he didn't. I'm going to lose my temper. I'm going to start cussing on the air. Don't even get me started. That was BS. Did. It was BS.
He 100% did. They were very slanted in the second half and had both overtimes. It was definitely going Toronto's way. They were way more. I don't know numbers, but it seemed like you said, the eye test, they were on the free throw line way more. They were getting the calls in these big situations, and the Celtics were not. And you know what? Looking at game seven, I mean, you had to go to double overtime to beat the Celtics with Kemba Walker scoring 5 points, with Jason Tatum being off all game, with Brown having like 21 in the first and only 10 in the second half and double overtime. I mean, if they even get halfway to what they should be, they should smoke them in game seven because they were all terrible and still went to double overtime.
How in God's name do you beat them by 40 and whatever it was, and then you can't beat them tonight? The whole game, Toronto was in the game. After the six-point play, they went up six or eight. You know, it was like the whole game changed on that call. The whole game changed because they were winning. And then they were down. Next thing you know, they were down 10 or 12. All I know is Tatum had a bad night, but he still had 29 and 14. So he didn't have a bad night. And he had four threes. And then Tice had 18. Smart had a triple-double, 23, 11, and 10. Brown had 31. The problem was Walker was ball hogging, and he was, you know, hero ball. With the last two shots he took in the game were both bricks. The little floater in the lane was a brick, and the layup was a brick. And he went 2 of 11 from the floor. Kemba Walker was 1 of 6 from downtown. Kemba Walker sucked the entire game. I don't care what anybody says. The Lightning just beat the Islanders with 7 seconds left in the game. They scored a goal late, and they stole the game. They win it 2-1. It all started behind the Islander net, came around to the near corner, shot out in front, a one-timer, bang, from the right circle. And that was all she wrote. Kucherov with the winner, the stud. For the Lightning, Kucherov one times it from the circle, a snapper, and they win the game 2-1. You had to see it to believe it. Kucherov from McDonough at 19:51, and the Islanders are heartbroken. Eberle skating off with a stick on the knees, frustrated. They blew it after having played their asses off tonight, leading 1-0. Tied the rest of the game. And then with 7 seconds left, Kucherov gives the Lightning the win and a 2-0 Eastern Conference edge in the final. The winner goes to the Stanley Cup Finals. Kucherov, the game winner. Barzal, 3 shots, a block shot. Vasilevsky, 27 saves. And the Lightning lead the Islanders 2-0 in that series. Mafia, I have to say that I said it today on Coast to Coast. I'm going to say it again right now. That's a backbreaker because I said today, if they lose tonight, even, you know, because you knew they'd give them a better game, losing 8-2 in game one, got blown out. You knew that Trotz would have them play a great game, which they did. Now, I thought, I said, look, if the Islanders come out and get a lead, 1 or 2 goals, I said they've got to get inside Tampa's head that, like, Tampa, you know, didn't take them seriously. And then they, you know, thought, I believe they thought, we got this in the bag. We beat them 8-2. This is a piece of cake. Let's just do our game. Skate, pass, shoot, score, win. That's how we roll. But if they got down 2, they might be like, wait, what's going on here? All of a sudden, these guys showed up to play. Then you might be able to steal a game from them. But instead of melting down or letting the Islanders build a 2-0 lead, they tied it late in the first on the Hedman goal. And then the rest of the game was all about lack of opportunity. And great defense and, you know, not letting anyone get open space. And then a mistake from behind the net, behind the goal line to pass it into the corner and then let that puck come across the crease through the slot to the circle to a one-timing Kucherov, the best player on the Lightning team, leaving him unscathed, wide open in the circle in that time with, you know, under 10 seconds left in the game, leaving him wide open. How do you not have a body on him? So now they lose, and you can't tell me, you cannot tell me that's not a backbreaker.
That's absolutely a backbreaker. I mean, I think that one's even worse than the 8-2 loss that you had in game one, because I think game one, you know, like Carvajal talked about on Coast to Coast, you play a 7-game series, you battle the whole time, then you got to fly, then you got to play right again. right away. You know, we've always talked about with the bubbles that, oh, we don't have to worry about the travel anymore. Well, they did for this series because they moved them all over out west so that all the, you know, conference finals are out there. They're only using one building. And, you know, you can say, okay, we weren't ready. You know, we had a tough week here and now we'll get back into it. And they played their game and they did exactly what they wanted to do. They slowed it down. They didn't let Tampa just come at them in waves and put up a bunch of goals. They made it, you know, a slugfest game. They made it, you know, beat down, drag you down into the mud, slow you down type of game. And if you look at the stats, I mean, they outshot them 28-21. They won more faceoffs, 30-24. More hits, 53-44. Less than half the penalty minutes, 28-13. Like, they beat them in just about every statistical category except goals. And you were with them the whole game. You were in it the whole game. Just one shot could change it all for you. And to have it just fall apart there in 7 seconds when you're probably sitting there thinking, all right, you know, 15 seconds of pucks coming down, we can clear it out, we'll get to overtime, we'll beat them then, and then boom, out of nowhere, they score. That just breaks your heart right there, that you played the game exactly like you needed to against this team, and they still found a way to beat you in the last seconds.
Crazy, right? How about this? Speaking of crazy, Denver's down 2 with 9.5 minutes left in the third. They came all the way back. Can you even believe it?
Hell yeah. Cover that 7.5 that I had.
Yeah, I went high risk with the Nuggets tonight. I have to say, Beverly just scored on a layup. I can't stand him. He makes me sick to my stomach. First of all, I think he's a punk. And second of all, I think he sucks. I think he's a terrible player. I don't think he's good. And he talks a lot. And he's just always in the middle of, you know, deep water, right? He's just neck deep in it. Always involved in trying to say something stupid. You know, talking about Jokic the other night, flailing when they went to the line 15 more times, the Clippers, they get every call. So, he makes me sick. I can't stand that dude. And not only that, like I said, I don't think he's a good player. I think he's trash. I think he's average at best. I couldn't even believe I just saw him have a layup, a driving layup, because I don't think he has any skill at all offensively. And if he has a big game, it's once a month at best ever. You know, if they play 20 games, he has one good game where he'll like light it up or something. You don't trust him shooting the ball from outside, do you, Moth? Do you think Beverly's a good player?
No. The only reason that guy's been in the NBA for the most part has been defense. And to a degree, he's a tip old school point guard where he controls the offense, but it's never through him. He's not one of these guys like Kemba Walker or some of these other guys that, or Rondo even, who can control it by making you think they're going to score and then dishing and fighting other guys. He's a guy that's purely there to move it around and put guys in the right positions. He's not there to shoot the ball because he doesn't do it well at all. You know, right. He's what Marcus Smart was coming into the NBA, and now Smart, as we see, has developed a shot and is more of a threat than Pat Beverly has ever been in his whole career.
Beverly's a defender. That's it. He's not the guy.
He's an annoyance.
That's it. And then he's dirty. He's a dirty player, too. He's dirty, physical, cheap shot, and defender. There's no doubt about it. But he's another one that can't control himself on the court with the refs. And here we go again, like this Scott Foster guy's calling this game, which, you know, when I see him, I want to cringe. That's how bad I think he is. And everybody talks about, oh, he's the veteran, the great veteran ref. He's been doing it for 25 years. Whatever. I don't care if he's done it for 100 years. He's terrible. What game doesn't he ruin? Look at Rivers lighting him up right now, talking to him, because it's just one game after the next. He butchers games. Scott Foster's the king of the worst. He's the worst of the worst. He really is. Every time I see him, I get goosebumps because I want to punch him in the face. He's the worst ref. Oh, my God. He's so terrible. I don't care what anyone thinks either. Don't even tell me. I watch 50 million games a year. I don't even want to hear it. I've seen him butcher every game he's ever reffed.
Oh, no, he definitely is terrible because, you know, if you're a ref, you're a line judge, you know, ump, anybody in that profession, if we not only know your name, but can see you and say, oh, it's that guy, I know who that guy is, but like, if you can see by visual, know who they are, not just their name, and you hear their name, say, oh, man, that guy's doing it. If you can pick them out of everything going on in the court and say, damn it, that guy's reffing it, I hate him, he sucks, then you're doing a terrible job.
Yeah, honestly, you know, everybody in the church is talking about my reaction, but that was before I frankly got on the air. They all said that I was going to go bent on the refs, and they're right. And they're all saying the same thing, that they talk about you know, I don't know, about the calls, about the refs, and then people are saying Brad Stevens is overrated. I don't think he's overrated. I think he's a good coach that hasn't won it yet. He needs to win it. He needs to win it before he's going to get full-on credit for being a great coach, because everyone thinks he's a great coach, but he doesn't have a ring. So he needs to win a championship, and I don't know. I really don't know. Like, I know what you said earlier, that game seven should be in the bag, but why is it that, how can you explain to me, Moff, how Kemba Walker could be that atrocious tonight as he was? Because not only that, he was 2 of 11, but he was 1 of 6 from downtown, but he had the rock in his hands at the end of the game as though he was the guy that was going to win the game for him. He's the man, that he's the guy. And, you know, that's like Jordan. That's LeBron. That's, you know, he's the guy. But, you know, Kawhi, he's the guy. But Kemba Walker couldn't hit the ocean from the beach tonight. Why is he the guy when, in my view, without a doubt, unequivocally, the best player, the only player that should have the ball on the Celtics always in the last possession is Tatum. Tatum's the star. Kemba Walker is just a name and an incredible, fast, super talented guy. But in a game six, he went 2 for 11 and 1 for 6. I mean, that is just terrible. And then you give him the pill at the end. Like, why in God's name does a guy that's shooting? Do you remember the other night I said this about Bledsoe? Bledsoe hit a corner three for the Bucks, but he was 2 of 12 in a game. I would know more. If I was the coach, I would have said in a timeout with like 10 minutes left, I would have said, listen, bro, do me a favor. You're done shooting. I don't care where you are. Pass it, because you suck. You can't shoot. Bledsoe cannot shoot. I don't care what anybody says. Have at it. Hate me all you want. He's terrible. Bottom line, he can't shoot. This guy Walker tonight was so bad. I don't want him having the pill. And look what happened. Both of his last two shots, one of them was from 3 feet away, and he bricked it off the front of the rim. He ducked it. And the second one was a driving layup at the 10, and he missed that too. Now, I'll give you this. I thought the driving layup, he definitely got fouled. No call. But if there's no call, then you just flat out missed it, right? That's what the refs are saying. No call means you missed. So, Mafia, he missed every shot he took tonight. So, I don't care what you say. You said Tatum had a bad game. He had 29 and 14. And that was on a rough night shooting, and he still had almost 30. So 29 and 14, double-double. Thank you. He's the guy that needed the ball in his hands at the end of the game. No one else. And I'll stand by that till the day is blue. So you're telling me now all of a sudden I'm supposed to count on Walker in a game seven when he couldn't close it in a game six, when he had every chance in the world, including the last two possessions, he bricked both of them. And one of them was from 3 feet away. The other one was a layup at the rim, and he missed both of them. Boom. There's nothing you can say to me to change my mind.
No, Tatum definitely came through later on in the game with some big shots. He struggled early on, found his shot a little bit later on. But I think the reason that they're, you know, putting it in Walker's hands there is I don't think you're really wanting him to shoot. I think if he has, you know, a good shot, which he did on both those, and just couldn't hit it, then okay, take it, because you're in close. It's a, you know, high percentage shot. I think the idea was after you saw Tatum with that 40 seconds left when he dribbled around and then kicked it out to Nick Nurse, who shouldn't have even been there, but who threw the ball away in a big situation, you're saying, all right, we're going to give it to the guy who's the veteran. He's the one with the best handle. He's the guy who's the best distributor. And I think what they were looking for him to do there is drive and draw some guys and then kick it out to Tatum or Brown, try to find them for a shot with a little bit of space. But unfortunately, they let him drive, and he got the shots, which were good shots, and he just didn't make them. I think they really wanted him to dish it, and it just ended up being that the best option at that point was him shooting it, because they stayed home. They said, you know what? You're not shooting. You're terrible. Let's let you go ahead. You know, keep it on your fingers, because we're not worried about you right now tonight.
I thought that he also, the only good shot he made was the step back elbow J when he got shook the defender. I think it was Ibaka or something. He shook him off and got like 3 feet of space, and then, you know, made the step back J. Now it's a 12 point game again, because Kawhi Leonard just had a steal and a dish for a bucket to Williams, and he hit a three before that. So they got within two. Now they're down 12 again. That took me opening up a bottle of water before they lit him up again. I mean, they are just unbelievable. Like, if they don't come back in this game, which I'm not feeling, they're done. That series is over, because it'll be 3-1, right? That'll be it. It's over. And the Clippers are going to the Western Final. That's all there is to it. Because, I mean, Denver's down 15, 16. They get down to 2, and now they're down 12 again. You know they're going to lose this game. So it's just amazing to me how you can, you know, you're getting smoked by the Clippers, just absolutely smoked like a doobie. And then all of a sudden you're within 2 and then you immediately let them jack it back up to 12. I mean, it's beyond me. Like, what are you doing? You get back in the game, you're right there, tooth and nail, and then you let them run off a 10-0 run? It just absolutely is beyond me. How do you get back into the game and be right there and then let it all slip through your fingers? And, you know, here's another thing. I don't even know what's going on. Jamal Murray's done. He's like in the locker room. He left the game. So he's obviously injured. I just saw him walking back in the locker room. So he's done. And he got a towel over him and he was walking real slow. So Murray, yeah, 28 minutes, 6 points. So Murray's toast. And then Porter's got 15. Jokic has 15. Nobody else has done jack. I don't even know how in God's name they were in the game to begin with. So Murray's not playing at all. The best player on the team is not playing. And now you wonder why they're down 12? I don't wonder anymore. Now I know why they're down 12. Because he's not playing. Because you know what? Paul Millsap is washed. He's finished. His career's over now. He's got 3 points. He's playing. He's absolutely disappeared in this series. He's like done. He has nothing left. Grant's got 7. I've always told you he sucks. Harris has 6. He's not a scorer. He's a defender. Plumlee's played. He's got 0. I mean, they don't have anyone that can score besides Jokic. There's no way they can win this game. There's 5-10 left and rolling. And they have no chance. If they come back in this game, I'll keel over.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.